Special word of welcome to all of our college students who are home visiting their families over Christmas break. Good to have all of you back. Families, I know that you're happy to have them back too. Also, a special word of welcome to Deacon Greg Luger, who is assisting us this morning. Deacon Luger is a transitional deacon for the Diocese of Bismarck, which means he will be ordained a priest this coming May by Bishop Kagan, along with our very own Deacon Jordan Dosh on May 31st, the Feast of the Visitation. So we're very blessed to have Deacon Luger here with us. He's back visiting with his family in Bismarck this weekend too. I'm happy on a personal note that Deacon Luger will be ordained a priest because he's taller, thinner, and younger than I am. And I'm just sick and tired of being that tall, thin, young priest. That's him starting May 31st. No longer me, okay? So just wanted to mention that. On my way out of the rectory this morning, Monsignor Richter was having breakfast, and he said, "Are you ready to go with your homily?" And I said, this is one of those homilies that'll either be mediocre or a train wreck, okay? Just a word of warning to you this morning. So it's not going to be great. It's going to either be just okay or a disaster. And so, but this was on my heart this morning. You know, on this fourth and final Sunday of Advent, our readings, there's a lot going on. If we set back and looked at that first reading from Isaiah, the second reading from Romans, our gospel from Matthew, there is a lot going on. And the gospel in particular focuses on Joseph and what's called the Annunciation to Joseph. So we know about the Annunciation of Mary in Luke's gospel, right, where the angel Gabriel says, "You shall conceive in your womb and bear a son." But now the angel of the Lord has gone to Joseph. And Joseph is a bit surprised, and the angel comes to him in a dream. And what does the angel tell him? To not leave Mary. That although she is pregnant, and Joseph is probably, most likely, most certainly saying in his mind, "I'm not sure how she's pregnant, but she is." Joseph is commanded from God, through the angel, to not leave her. Because this child in her womb is not of human origin, but it's from the Holy Spirit. So don't leave her. And Joseph obeys and doesn't leave her. And in fact, he brings her into his home as the Lord has commanded. But we also know that in this gospel today, it refers to a prophecy. And the prophecy is this: "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. So Matthew, when he wrote this gospel, mentions that all of this has taken place. Gabriel, Mary, Joseph, not leaving her. All of this has taken place to fulfill what? A prophecy. There's just one problem. Very few of us, myself included, fully understand what the prophecy is all about. We heard about it in our first reading today. It comes from Isaiah 7. "I'm 30 years old. I have a degree in theology. I've had scripture classes. And until this week, when I spent a bit of time really diving into what this prophecy from Isaiah 7 is all about, I didn't get it." Think how many times we've sang, "O come, Emmanuel." Think of how many times we've heard Isaiah 7 and heard this prophecy, and some of us still might not get it. But it's essential for us to be able to enter into this week of Christmas to get it, to get what this prophecy is all about that has been fulfilled in today's gospel. So, for example, to whom is this prophecy made? When was it made? Why was it made? What was it about? What's going on in Isaiah 7? So the goal today is very simple: that we have some basic understanding of how Jesus fulfills this prophecy and how it might affect our lives. So, Isaiah 7, what's the context? The Lord speaks through prophets, right? In the Old Testament, prophets, whether it's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, whoever it might be, are mouthpieces of God. The Lord has chosen him to speak his word to the people of Israel. And today Isaiah is speaking to whom? this guy named King Ahaz. Who's King Ahaz? He's the king of Judah. And Judah, of course, is the southern kingdom of Israel. There's two kingdoms in Israel, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And he is the king of the southern kingdom, which means he is the king of Jerusalem, which means that the temple and all the things that go on there are ultimately under his jurisdiction. And Isaiah is speaking to Ahaz, and he's prophesying. And Isaiah says, hey, King Ahaz, you need to ask for a sign. Why does he need to ask for a sign? At that time, the kingdom of Judah was under great pressure that they were going to be attacked from outside foreign nations. And everybody knows that Jerusalem doesn't have a very big army. And so he says, hey, King Ahaz, you need to ask for a sign. And what's the sign? Why should he ask for a sign? Ahaz says, no, I'm not going to ask for a sign. Why? Because he's proud. Because he's proud and he doesn't want to ask for a sign. And the prophet Isaiah is trying to remind him that the Lord wants to provide for you. And the reason that Ahaz is so concerned right now is because he's afraid that these foreign nations are going to come and attack Jerusalem. And what does he want to do? He wants to go to other nations to ask for help. And Isaiah is saying, don't worry about it, Ahaz. God's going to provide for you. You're the chosen people of Israel. The Lord will provide for you and protect you. Don't go to these other nations. Don't go to them. The Lord will provide for you, right? And Isaiah says, ask for a sign. If you want proof that the Lord's going to provide for you, ask for a sign. And Ahaz then says what? I will not ask, I will not tempt the Lord. Now we might be saying, oh, isn't that nice? Ahaz isn't going to ask for a sign. He doesn't want to tempt God. When Ahaz says that, everyone, he's mocking God. He's saying, you think, Isaiah, that God's going to speak to me? You think that he's going to provide for me? You think that I'm going to ask God what's going on and how he can help? I will not tempt the Lord. I will not ask him. Why? Because I don't believe in him. That's essentially what he says. That claim of not tempting God here, that's not some pious sentiment. That's Ahaz mocking the Lord. And Isaiah says essentially, okay, you're not asking for a sign, but here's what the sign would be. The sign would have been, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son in her womb, and his name shall be Emmanuel, which means God is with us. But Ahaz never receives that sign. Why? Because he doesn't ask God for help. That sign is never fulfilled in King Ahaz's lifetime. Fast forward about 700 years. That prophecy is fulfilled. Why? Because another virgin is with child. And her name is Mary. And she is betrothed to Joseph, who is a descendant of the great king of Israel, David. That 700 years later, that prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Now, what does any of this have to do with anything? How often do you and I simply not ask God to do stuff in our lives because we're like Ahaz and we don't think he can, or we don't think he will, or we don't think he's powerful enough to do things in our lives? But what Jesus becoming man reveals to us is that God intervenes in human activities. That God actually is real, and he's alive, and he works, and he does stuff in our lives. That Emmanuel means God is with us. That's not just warm fuzzies. That means that he does stuff for us in our lives. that God is with us. And Jesus fulfills this ancient prophecy from 700 BC, Isaiah 7. So this week at Christmas, we ask ourselves, well, where does he come? Well, what did he come to do? In the gospel today, it says he came to forgive sins. That's where he comes. He comes where we've sinned. And he comes to forgive them. And he comes to remove the guilt. And peace comes from where? From there. Peace comes into our lives from where he has removed sin and removed guilt. And the peace is a person. And his name is Jesus. That we can have tremendous confidence, everyone, that you and I are not bound by our past. That our past sins mean nothing in God's eyes when we bring them to him. Peace comes from the Lord. And it comes as a result of him forgiving sins. The people of Israel were afraid of foreign nations attacking them. We're not afraid of foreign nations. We're not afraid of worldly powers. What we're most afraid of is how we lose peace through sin. But the Lord comes in his great mercy to forgive it and to heal it and to wipe it out. This Christmas is about him giving us peace. Peace where we need it, peace where we want it, peace where we long for it.